We have the Go Ye video that last week, for some reason, Pastor Dennis, he lost his voice. Well, he got it back, and so let's see what he had to say.
Hi, I'm Pastor Dennis Griffin. I've been at the Church of Radiant Life since 1986, and 1994, God gave me an idea based on a scripture, go ye into all the world and make disciples. As I was looking at some of the mail and throwing some of it away, there was different needs from different ministries, and it started to pull on my heart. And so I told the Lord, I can't go into all these places, or I can't, you know, give to everybody. And the Holy Spirit just quietly said to me, go into all the world. Well, I knew that scripture. And so I said, repeat it again, well, I just can't give to everybody. And the Holy Spirit said again, go into all the world. Well, the third time he said, go into all the world, a light went on in my head that if you give, you're giving part of your life. And so I realized that if I gave to every nation of the world, I could go into all the world. And so I tried to get the nations lumped together and came up with 160 nations that we can give to, or groups of nations. And we do it by setting out 160 buckets. This bucket's for Romania. So on Sunday, on our Go Ye service, there'll be 160 of these. And what we'll do is we'll have 160 buckets. They're in alphabetical order. People start and they go around the world and they give to each nation. And you can give either a penny, which is $1.60, you can give a nickel, which is $8, you can give a dime, which is $16, quarter is $40, or you can give a dollar to every nation, and that'd be $160. So what we try and do is try and allow everybody, from the littlest ones that wanna give to the adults, to give something, and we've gone into every nation of the world. So, Go Ye into All the World is an opportunity for every person to go into every nation of the world. And one of the neatest things is, as those kids have given, they get a heart for missions. No one that's left out of the service. Everybody can give. It's above and beyond the tithe. It's a one-time gift. And so we just thank you that you'll participate, encourage you, and the Lord will bless you because you have fulfilled the scripture of going into all the world.
Today I want to talk about we're all missionaries. We're all missionaries. And I said before in the service, I get the privilege of starting the fall missions emphasis. And when I say we're all missionaries, what are we really saying? We're saying that every one of us, every person who considers themselves a follower of Jesus, you've committed your life to Jesus, you're a missionary. We're responsible for taking the story of Jesus to every person on the planet. We're saying that we're on job assignment from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our commander. Next week, as Pastor Dennis shared with us in the video, we'll have our Go Ye into All the World mission service. And he took that title from Matthew 28, 18 to 20, where Jesus is speaking and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. In the King James Version, it says, go ye, and that's where the title came from, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What Jesus was saying in Matthew 28, 18 to 20 was to go into the world. We're to turn every person on the face of the planet into disciples of Jesus by teaching them about Jesus and by getting them to commit their lives to Jesus to the point that they'll be baptized and make a public declaration of who has become their Lord. In 1914, the Assemblies of God, of which we're a part, it came into existence. It came into existence because a number of people at that time were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in other tongues. They were having people in their services give prophecies, give words of wisdom, give words of knowledge. And their mainline churches didn't like the fact that that was happening. And so they gave them what I call the left foot of fellowship. In 1914, 300 people got together in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and they said, you got booted out of your church, and I got booted out of my church, and you got booted out of your church. Why don't we get together and we'll form a new church? And they called it the Assemblies of God. And at that meeting in 1914, 104 years ago, they said, they made this statement, "We commit ourselves to the greatest work of evangelism this world has ever seen." We commit ourselves to the greatest work of evangelism that our world has ever seen. And it's interesting that that 300 people over the last 104 years has turned into approximately 75 million people. And it's happened because of these people filled with the Holy Spirit and having a commitment to do the greatest work of evangelism the world has ever seen. It's happened because of that. And it was because they believed that every follower of Jesus is a missionary. And they believed they were to go be missionaries. A lot of those early Assembly of God people, they packed their belongings and they went around the world and they packed their belongings in caskets so that when they died in those nations of the world, they would have a casket to be buried in. Do you think that might be a commitment? And there were a number of them that actually ended up dying in those nations of the world because of diseases and things that transpired. Some of them were martyred for their faith. But they said, "We commit ourselves to the greatest work of evangelism this world has ever seen." Why should we be missionaries? People today want to know why when they're told to do anything. How many have children that you know what the word "why" means? Why? You say something and people go, "Why?" Let me give you a few whys. Why should we be missionaries? First, people are lost in their sins and they're separated from a God who loves them. People are lost in their sins and they're separated from a God who loves them. Let me explain it this way. People are messed up because they don't know Jesus. How many know some messed up people? They don't know Jesus. Second, people don't know Jesus because they've never heard his story in an adequate way. And third, people have never heard because no one has ever been sent to tell them the story. The Apostle Paul stated it this way in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. Romans 10, 13 to 15. "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's what we want. We want every man and woman, boy and girl on the face of the planet to be saved. Verse 14. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent?" Salvation comes when a person hears and believes what someone sent to them has preached. And we should go and proclaim Jesus because people will spend eternity separated from God unless somebody takes the message to them and tells them how much God loves them. It's estimated that there are still 2 billion people on the face of the planet. 6,000 people groups on the planet who are unreached and have not heard of God's love for them. How many people are there on the face of the planet? I'm not quite sure. Some say around 7 billion, some say around 8 billion. But about 30% of our world has never heard an adequate presentation of God's love. Christian linguists tell us that they believe that within the next 20 years, they will be able to translate the Bible into every known language of our world. Those 6,000 unreached people groups, they believe because of technology, because of people who are committing their lives to do the greatest work of evangelism the world has ever seen, that every nation group will have a Bible printed into their language. And it's my personal belief that Jesus cannot come back and take us to himself until every person has a Bible printed in their language and they can hear the language and they can read the language and see what that language that's theirs is communicating to them. There are people that they get all worked up about when Jesus is coming back. You know what we ought to get worked up about? We need to get worked up about every person hearing the message so Jesus can come back. Let me give you a second reason. See, because people are separated from Christ, the second reason why we should be missionaries goes back to Matthew 28:18, where it says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Here Jesus says he has all authority. Who does Jesus have authority over? Everyone, and every authority extends from heaven to earth. He has all authority over rulers, principalities, powers, angelic forces, demons, sin, sickness, disease, you name it. Jesus has authority over all. And let me add just one more. He has authority over you and me. He has authority over you and me. Since he saved you from your sins, he has first rights to your life. Paul said he was a debtor, he owed. Pastor Chris, last few weeks, he's been preaching about how Saul became Paul and how Saul was like a terrorist. When Christians heard the word Saul, they thought, ugh, terrorist. He's exactly right, because Saul, who became Paul, it says he breathed out threatenings and murder. And when Saul became a follower of Jesus, he said, "I am in debt to God, and I'm in debt to Christians because what I have done to them, I owe them." And you and I are debtors too. Jesus has forgiven us. He's changed us. We're under the authority of Jesus, and he's told us to go be missionaries. You say, "How can I be a missionary? Look at me. I've got gray hair, I got wrinkles, and I got arthritis. How can I go be a missionary?" Some of you are younger. Last evening, I had the privilege of driving the church bus and driving the teenagers to the corn maze. If you're feeling called to get a CDL with a passenger's endorsement, I would appreciate it. Because I taught 6 hours at Osam. I'd left the parking lot at 4:02 over at Polaris, and I drove here, and I got here at 4:30 to drive the bus for the teenagers to the corn maze. And I'll tell you what, they were loud. On the way back from the corn maze, Pastor Matt, I don't know what you had them drink at the corn maze, but my right ear, it's not the best at hearing anyway, and now it's about shot. They were singing and humming and playing the trumpet without a trumpet to all the Star Wars movies. Dun, 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 dun. And it's like, guys, I don't know what you have planned for your life, but why not you? Why not you going and being a missionary? Why not you giving your life to go take Jesus to places that have not yet heard? Let me give you two ways to go. The first one is just go. Go to one of our AG colleges. In case you don't know, I'm now an adjunct professor at Southeastern University campus right here at Polaris, the Ohio campus. And I'd love to recruit all of our high school students that when you graduate from high school, you go to Southeastern University, Ohio at Polaris. It's one of the best schools you'll ever get to go to. It happens to be one of the least expensive in the state of Ohio. It's cheaper than Ohio State. All but me, I think they all have doctorates. I have a BA, an MA, an MDiv, and I just quit short. Go get a Christian education. Get a Christian spouse at a Christian college. Come on. You don't go get a Christian spouse at a bar. You go get a Christian spouse where Christians are. And so go get the training you need, and then go be a full-time Assemblies of God world missionary. We call them missionaries who put boots on the ground. Chris Little used to sit about in the row in front of Jeremiah and Ashley. She used to sit right there. And one day at a mission service like this, she felt the call of the Lord. And she's been in Zambia for the last 12 years, healing people's sick bodies and bringing them to faith in Jesus. And she was a part of us, just like you and me, just like we're here today. Young couples, young families, young adults, single young adults. God may be speaking to you right now about giving your life to Him and letting Him change the future that you had planned for yourself and letting Him take your future. And I see some of you going, well, I can't go, so, you know, I might as well go home now. No, don't go home. I'm going to get you in a second. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. He may be laying His hand on you to make a difference. Let me tell you what happens when we go. We've had missionaries that have gone to the nation of Cuba over the years. They go in and out. They sneak in and out. They plant churches here. They plant a church there. And then they leave because of Castro, because of communism. They haven't been able to go and keep their boots on the ground all the time. But they've gone. In 1990, we had 90 churches and 12,000 Cubans in Assemblies of God churches. We had 90 Assembly of God churches. We had 12,000 Assembly of God believers in those churches. What has happened in the last 28 years? What's happened is a miracle. How many still believe in miracles? We prayed for some this morning. We still believe in miracles. And over the last 28 years, today there are now 6,000 Assembly of God churches in Cuba. From 90 to 6,000. This morning, there are close to 600,000 people in Assemblies of God churches in Cuba. Woo! You know, if that doesn't crank you up, you haven't gotten missions yet. 600,000. There's only 11,500,000 people on the whole island. That means one in every 21 people on the island are Assemblies of God people, Pentecostal. And there's other Christians too. Did you know that? There are other Christians besides Assembly of God. And I love them all. I even love some Assembly of God people. That's a joke. Just seeing if you're awake. Our missionaries, Don and Jackie Cartledge. Don lived in the hall across from me at Central Bible College. We called him, don't tell him I said this, we called him Zork. That was missionary Don Cartledge's nickname, and everybody called him Zork. I don't know why we called him Zork. He was just Zork to us for years, until his wife got mad at us. She doesn't like us calling her husband Zork. But they're leading the outreach into Cuba. They go in and out. They're working with pastors. They're ministering. How many would love to see 11.5 million believers on the island of Cuba, the entire island, come to faith in Jesus? And it's because of people who are willing to go. And Don and Jackie have given their lives in Chile, Costa Rica, now Cuba. You want your life to be worth something? You want it to be meaningful? That's what they say that we really want in life. We want our life to be meaningful. We want it to make a difference, make an impact. Going as a missionary is one of the greatest ways you will ever give meaning to your life. You can also go on short-term missions trips. Kay is on 4 weeks. That's sort of short. To me, it's really long. She's teaching at the Asia Pacific Theological Seminary, so people from that part of the world will be able to go all over their part of the world and bring people to Jesus. You say, well, I'd like to go on a short-term trip. I'd like to do a construction trip. I'd like to do an evangelism trip. I'd like to be a part of something like that. Go to agmissions.org, and they can give you a list. You can go down through, and you can pick what missions trip you want to be involved in. There's opportunity after opportunity. So you can go for a long term, your lifetime. You can go for short term. That's the first type of missionary, one who goes short-term or long-term. And let me ask you, why not? Why not? Second type of missionary is the missionary of supply. The missionary of supply. Okay, from the time she was a little girl, she wanted to be a missionary who went. Then she met me. Some of her plans were changed, and for the last 38 years, we've been missionaries of supply right here in Dublin. As we've been planning the church, as we've been reaching out to our world from this place. But during that 38 years, we've been missionaries of supply. Last year, our missions faith promise was $2,400 above our tithe, above our building pledge, above other things. We have another commitment to the Assemblies of God Trust Foundation for providing money for college students and their education. We give to Light for the Lost. We give to a lot of things. But we're missionaries of supply. Every army has soldiers who are soldiers of supply. They see that the army, those who are actively involved in combat, they see that they have equipment, clothing, food, weapons, ammunition, whatever frontline soldiers need, those soldiers of supply see that they get those. And without soldiers who are responsible for supplies, those engaged in the battle can't function. When my son David spent three different combat tours in Afghanistan, fighting, shooting people, having people shoot at him, there were those who saw that he and his men had what they needed. They supplied them with weapons and ammunition and medical supplies and food and clothing and on. They were soldiers of supply. And without soldiers of supply, combat soldiers can't be on the ground. They can't be in the battle. They can't be fighting for freedom. And without missionaries of supply, our 2,400 missionary families on the ground in nations of the world can't function. Missionaries need us to supply them with whatever they need to infiltrate the nations of our world and bring freedom to people who are lost without Jesus. Let me ask you, have you committed to being a missionary of supply? It amazes me that every missionary that we support, I'll ask them, do you give to missions? And every one of our missionaries can give me a list of the missionaries that they support. Is that crazy? They're needing to raise money to get themselves on a field, a nation of the world, but they hear another missionary talking about what they're doing in their part of the world, and they say, I got to give to that. And they make missions faith promises. Why? Because, as Pastor Dennis shared with us, they want to be in nations of the world where they physically can't get there. Today I'm asking you and your family to pray about what the Lord would funnel through you to supply those missionaries who go. I'm asking you to take a step of faith and believe that God will channel through you more than you have in your budget and more than you make. Say, how can I give more than I make? It's because you give from faith. See, here at Radiant Life Church, we don't believe in missions pledges. Because a pledge, you figure out how much you make, you figure what you can take out of your budget, and you give that. That's a pledge. A faith promise is where you look at what you have and you say, I'm going to give on what I don't have. I'm going to let God move in a way that I have to believe God for it to happen. It comes from you don't know where. It's God providing through us. You see, we have limited resources, but my God has all the resources of heaven at his disposal that he can release on us here on earth. A man by the name of John Bunnell made this statement, if one first gives himself to the Lord, all other giving is easy. You give yourself first to the Lord, all other giving really becomes easy. Have you totally given yourself to the Lord? Have you come under his authority? Remember, we talked about all authority and us being under that authority. See, when we come and we give ourselves to Jesus, giving to Jesus is easy. Making a faith promise is easy when you've learned the why. When we see people who can only hear, when we send someone with the message to preach to them. So missions begins with saying yes to Jesus. It begins with saying, wherever you want me to go, I will go. I heard God say, go to Ohio, and then say, go to Dublin. And that's why we're here. It's saying, whatever you want to do with me, I will do. It begins with saying, whatever you want me to give, I will give. It's saying yes to the authority of Christ. Now, does making a missions faith promise always feel good? No. In fact, if you feel good about your faith promise, you're doing something wrong. Okay? A missions faith promise should hurt. Okay, it is so quiet in here, it's like we're in surgery. You can hear a pin drop on the carpet. Lighten up, folks. We're not going to take missions faith promises today. Tricked you. So relax. Man, you're sitting here like, is he going to come and take my hand and write on a piece of paper? No, not today. We'll do it next week, maybe the following week, who knows? See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when we step out in faith to supply God's heart desire, he supernaturally turns resources loose on us that we don't know where they would come from. An inheritance will come your way. You'll get a raise or you'll get a new job. You'll get a huge commission sale. But you will have some supernatural supply come your way and supply the heart cry of God, which is to make disciples of all nations. And know this, everything God makes, he makes out of nothing. God made everything that is in existence out of nothing. By faith, the worlds were framed, and God spoke it, and it all came into being. And faith promise giving is when you have nothing, but you believe, and you begin to speak it, and it comes into reality because of God seeing your heart and your faith, and he resources it. 3.5 people will come to faith in Jesus for every dollar you invest in Assemblies of God missions. Let me say that again. 3.5 people will come to faith in Jesus for every dollar you and I invest in Assemblies of God missions. Last year, Kay and I, we had 10,500 people get saved because of our giving. I don't know what that does to you, but sometimes I don't do real good. My next door neighbors haven't come to faith in Jesus, but you know what? I've put money into the work of the kingdom, and people have come to faith in Jesus all around the world. How great is the need? 2.5 billion people, 6,000 different nation groups. Let me ask you a searing question. And Pastor Matt, maybe you guys could come. How could it be right that we get to hear the message of Jesus week after week, over and over and over again? And there are some people that have never heard an adequate presentation of God's love one time. You know, that grips me. How is it right? I can turn on TV. I can turn on the radio. I can hear a good presentation of Jesus' love at a moment. And there are some people that they do not even have access to it. How's that right? That compels me that I'm either going to go, I'm going to be a missionary who goes, or I'm going to be a missionary who supplies. What you going to do? Would you stand with me? There was a guy that wrote a song called The Vision. And it said, I have seen the heathen in their darkness. I have heard their cry of grim despair. All my heart is burning with the passion to take to them the light of Jesus there. On the altar I have lain them. Now to thee I give my heart. Fill me with the fire of vision. Let my passion ne'er depart. So today I ask you, would you pray? Would you give? Would you go? See, what we do, people's eternal fate is connected to it. This is a privilege. This is such a privilege. God would lay his hand on us and use us. See how it works? It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you have arthritis and you couldn't even get on a plane. You can still be involved in this. Some of you are young and you could get on a plane, but God has a different plan for you to impact the nations of the world. But everything we do, it needs to be connected to how can I reach the nations? How can I fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave me? If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your life, I want you to know how much Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he's commissioned people all around the world to come and present Jesus to you. Today, he wants you to experience how much he loves you. He wants you to experience his forgiveness. And if you've never invited him into your life, you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin and to be the Lord of your life, he wants to do it right now. He wants to come into your life. He wants to be your Savior. And if you want to invite Jesus into your life right now, would you pray a prayer with me? It'll say something like, Lord, I see how much you love me. I see that I've sinned against you. Will you forgive me of my sin? Will you come into my life? Will you take over my life? I now let you have all authority in my life and make you my Lord. If you pray a prayer or something like that, it'll happen in a second. You say it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, and you're saved. If you need to pray a prayer like that, could we all say one together? Would you repeat after me? Lord, thank you for your love. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I recognize you have all authority. I give you the authority in my life. And this I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you meant it. Would you see me? Would you see Pastor Matt? Anybody around here that looks like they're official? You know what? Doesn't even have to be official. If you came with somebody else, tell them, I prayed that prayer today. What is that? It's confessing it with your mouth. It's believing in your heart. How many will say with me, I'm willing to pray about going? How many would say, I know I'm a missionary of supply? How many people are going to come to faith in Jesus this year because of you? Mine this year is going to be at least another 10,500. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these who love you. I thank you for these that just now committed their life to Jesus. They asked Jesus to come into their life. Thank you for them. So we love you, we praise you, we glorify you. This week, would you encourage somebody to go to church? When you're in a conversation, say, hey, could I ask you to do something or think about doing something? Would you go to church this weekend? They'll look at you like, huh? Try it. Sometimes nothing comes out of it. They'll go, okay. Sometimes they'll go, you know, I should. And you can get into a conversation. Let's flood the Columbus area. Let's go and take Jesus everywhere we go. careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus.